Need to borrow a little money? Hit up Trevor Lawrence. He just got paid. Maggie and Perloff, welcome to the show. Trevor Lawrence signs massive contract. It's going to pay him $55 million per year, which is right on par with Joe Burrow. However, I don't think anyone's really putting Trevor Lawrence and Joe Burrow in the same conversation right now. Again, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, welcome to the show. Perloff, nobody was surprised that Trevor Lawrence got this money. The question is, has Trevor Lawrence earned this money yet by what you've seen?
Let me ask you this. You put Joe Burrow in Jacksonville. What's he winning?
I mean, Cincinnati wasn't really known to be this juggernaut place either, and Joe Burrow's made it work there.
Absolutely, but you have to realize you have Zach Taylor and Lou Anarumo and Ja'Marr Chase, and I'm sorry. My point, I think, is true that the things around Trevor Lawrence are not ideal. I know they spent a lot of money on wide receiver, but they've made some bad draft picks.
I mean, Doug Peterson's had more success than Zach Taylor. He got to the game and won it. Not like Taylor.
Who's a better coach right now? If you were going to rank coaches, I would put Zach Taylor ahead of him.
Okay, maybe, but it's not like Urban Meyer's still there and they're still trying to shove this square peg into a round hole. They did shop at the top of the market for a coach.
I just think Joe Burrow would not have gotten to the Super Bowl in Jacksonville. So I think, honestly, like Trevor Lawrence, it's situational. I think the team let him down last year. I think he was hurt. There's so many positives about Trevor Lawrence. I keep hearing these negatives, like he's long-haired Daniel Jones, like... I want to be an analytical guy, but watch the games. Does anyone really watch Trevor Lawrence and not think he's good? I can't understand that.
I really don't see the Daniel Jones comparisons either, because the biggest difference, and I have seen a little of that online, the biggest difference is obviously Daniel Jones has not been durable. You know, he has not been healthy, and Trevor Lawrence played through injury last year and so far has been durable. Again, I'm not saying that anyone was surprised by this. It's just you are paying now top five quarterback money to a guy who's not a top five quarterback. And even if you like Trevor Lawrence and even if you love him, you're not putting him in the top five. And so you're paying him like that, which makes that roster building just so much harder. This is what happens. This is the burden at times of having a top quarterback who's played well is eventually they get paid and there's kind of no middle ground. You know, even Jared Goff is making $53 million a year. I mean, there's no middle class.
Yeah, I mean, like the one good thing about this situation is they don't have a lot of other guys to pay.
Well, they just paid Josh Allen, the other Josh Allen.
Yeah, it's not like
spent tons of money in free agency.
They're not the Niners. It's not like they have future Hall of Famers they got to compensate all over that roster. So we know that, listen, they have to do this. There's no choice. It's completely a non-controversial signing to me. Like, this was, and unfortunately, there's no, I think maybe the bigger issue is, should there be a middle class for quarterbacks? I understand that argument, but there's not. The reality is they had to pay him $55 million. This is a good day for Jags fans. And Trevor Lawrence is a good quarterback. I know he had 14 picks last year, and they lost their last five games. It's not on Lawrence.
Do you think he'll ever live up to the generational, like, moniker, like that expectation of him being a generational talent? So we're talking about the John Elways and we're talking about that high level. Do you think he's going to get there?
I think he's just as good as Andrew Luck. He'll get just as far as Andrew Luck did. He's probably not quite as good as Andrew Luck, but I think he'll be fine. I think he'll be a four-time Pro Bowler, get to a conference championship game. Yes, I do.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I like Lawrence and he's got the pedigree. I just wonder who in the NFL is going to, I'm not going to say have the stones to do it, because I don't know if you necessarily need to have guts, but who's going to say enough's enough? Who's going to say, I'd rather just keep starting over with quarterbacks, implement my system, make my system the thing, to have a quarterback that's good enough, right, who can just make the plays, really invest in your offensive and defensive line, invest in the skill position players, and say, I need a point guard who can just get the ball to somebody, and I'm just going to keep drafting and drafting and drafting that person so I don't get tied in to $147 million guaranteed to one person?
I have no idea. Do you have an answer? I mean, San Francisco is the model now with a rookie quarterback, but they're going to pay Purdy. So maybe Dallas tries it this year?
You know, it's interesting. I've seen a lot of that. Sort of, what does this Trevor Lawrence contract mean for Dak Prescott? I mean, I think it the same thing. All these contracts kind of mean the same thing. They keep going up and up and up, and it's not going to make Prescott any cheaper. I don't know if he's necessarily going to break the bank and get the top of the market, like literally the very tippy top, but he's going to get a ton. And the more these salaries go up, the bigger the maybe floor and ceiling get for Dak.
Yeah, I think that if you look at the Final Four last year, it was Lamar obviously got paid. Patrick Mahomes got paid. Brock Purdy did not get paid yet. And Jared Goff, who actually had been paid, now everyone's getting paid. So that rookie
and Herbert was last year too.
No, I'm saying the final four teams alive in the playoffs.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. So I think you can win with an expensive quarterback now. The reality is, as this market has developed, like, now you're competing at the other spots. Like, it's almost a given. You have to pay $50 million. What can you do with the other $200 million of cap space to build a great team? I'm sorry. It's just a reality of the situation is you're going to have to find another way to win. You can't cheap out a quarterback.
The other thing, and Carlos Ortiz is with us today, and he said, you know, Carlos, you said you got to have quarterbacks contracts be separate, right? Have them be a totally different category than the rest of the team. See, I don't like that because – the point of the salary cap sport is you actually have to be creative, right? You can't make mistakes or you get punished for making bad mistakes in theory if you're a GM or a coach. I like that aspect of it. I don't want to just make it like you remove a degree of difficulty. It becomes like baseball then. It's like, all right, you're basically going to have your quarterback over here and then a whole other thing to play with. I like the challenge and the chess match financially of trying to make it work when you have to pay a quarterback. Like, I want to see what teams do. How do they compensate?
Well, right. I mean, the reality is there's absolutely no way that could happen anyway. So
yeah, they're not going to do it.
Yeah.
Remember when they said the running backs wanted to be separate? thing that got floated out? It's like, that's not going to happen.
The other problem would be parity. If you didn't, like, this actually helps the league maintain parity, if that's what you want in the NFL.
Right.
Because you have to pay the quarterbacks. Otherwise, if the Chiefs didn't have to pay Mahomes in their salary cap, I mean, they're going to be in the Super Bowl every year for 12 years, which they may be anyway.
That's true. Okay, you're welcome to weigh in on Trevor Lawrence at 855-212-4227. He's getting paid like a top quarterback, but right now, not a top quarterback. Okay, let's turn our attention to Perloff, one of our absolute favorite sports, and that is professional wrestling, AEW. They've been friends of our show. You got the Dynamite Rampage show happening July 3rd in Chicago. Sky Blue is a Chicago native. She's obviously an AEW wrestler, and she joins us now. Sky, thanks so much for the time. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Fantastic. Where are you joining us from?
We are currently at Fox 32 in Chicago.
Okay, so this is your hometown. You're going to be wrestling there July 3rd, as I said, for the Dynamite Rampage. When you wrestle in your hometown, how many tickets are you buying for friends and family? What does that look like?
So many. Normally, all my family wants to come. A handful of people I went to high school with want to go.
So, Sky, I always think of Chicago people. They're supposed to be nice, right? Like Midwestern. Is that what a crowd is like in Chicago? Because Maggie and I just went to an event in Philadelphia, and people were really mean. I expect Chicago a little more out of them.
I think they're a little nicer. I think it's like 50-50. Depends on what part of Chicago you're in, I guess.
Sky Blue is joining us, AEW Dynamite Rampage, Chicago, July 3rd. You know, Sky, if you're with friends and family, right, do they look at what you do and think, boy, she was always destined to do something like this? Or did you completely flip the script on your friends and family and said, I'm going to go for this thing that, let's be honest, it's a unique line of work?
Yeah, I definitely flipped the script on everybody. I was the shy, quiet kid that was afraid of her own shadow. And I told my mom one day I wanted to do this. And she was like, you're not going to do it. So then I knew I had to prove her wrong.
Wow. Okay. So what sparked it in you that you just, someone says you can't do something, now all of a sudden you want to do it more?
But I've also been a fan. Like, my parents have been fans my whole life. So I grew up watching wrestling and I was always intrigued by it, but specifically a hardcore match was like, yep, that's what I want to do.
Really? Okay. And how, if you're a shy person by nature, how has it been difficult to like draw your personality sort of out here and put on a show in front of, you know, thousands of people live and even more watching on TV?
I feel like wrestling was my outlet to get my personality out and like to get me out of my shell. So I feel like it just kind of naturally happened. Like, I just love wrestling so much that it was easy to put the walls down and not be shy anymore.
What about physically? Did you know you had the skills to pull this off as a kid? Like, did you think, you know, I'm a big fan, but I was a big wrestling fan. I knew physically I couldn't do it.
I did sports my whole life. I did volleyball, track and field, and weightlifted a lot. So part of me thought like I had enough athletic background, but the other part of me was very worried because I had no idea what I was getting into.
Yeah, and how'd it go when you first started to learn to wrestle? Was it very challenging?
My first day, I remember I was the only girl and I was 17 years old. And I remember being obsessed with it. I didn't care if I was in pain. I didn't care if I was exhausted. I was just obsessed.
And that has led to where you are today. And of course, we're talking with Sky Blue, AEW, Dynamite, Rampage, Chicago. It's all going down July 3rd at the Wintrust Arena. Have you been getting caught up in all the WNBA love with Angel Reese, the Chicago Sky? Has that been a big deal to you?
I have not. I was never a basketball girl, but I did accidentally, but intentionally wear Chicago Sky colors. My very first All Out for AEW. So in a way, I kind of knew what it was, but not fully.
We should mention, if you're watching us right now, which is youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork. You're sitting next to Kyle Fletcher. Kyle, how you doing? We weren't sure if you were going to be here today, so thank you so much. Thank you so much for doing this. Can you just... right now, explain to us. We see the belt there. Can you hold it up a little bit more for our camera?
Take a look. Yeah, there it is. It's big as a head.
What does it mean to you to be wearing that?
Oh, I mean, this has been a lifelong dream of mine, right? I grew up like Sky, watching it as a kid. So to be at the level I'm at, to be holding this, it's pretty surreal, honestly. It's a big honor.
Now, you guys are dating, right? Can I? Okay. Dating or no?
Yes. Dating, yes.
Dating, yes. Okay, so how I've seen this with professional athletes who are dating or who are married to each other. They get so competitive with their workouts. Are you guys like that, where you're pushing each other every time? Like if Sky does 25 sit-ups, then you've got to do 30 or something like that?
I'm the one dragging her through it. And she's fighting, crawling. She's like, no, let me off the machine. It hurts. And I'm like, three more. That's pretty much exactly how it goes.
And Sky, how do you respond to that when he's pushing you?
It's annoying and I'm always exhausted and I just want to eat cheesecake. But I appreciate it so much because he pushes me and gets me to a point where I didn't think that I could get on my own. So I'm just super grateful.
Kyle, want to ask you about MJF. He's back with AEW. Looks like a new contract. What does that mean for the entire outfit and for you?
So I think it's a great thing for the company. MJF is one of the biggest stars in professional wrestling. So the fact that he's here for however long it is, he says permanently, I think it can only be good things for the company. And I can't wait to punch him in the face personally.
Is he true to his character at all? No.
10,000%. Yes. Exactly. See, believe me.
Well, just so everyone in the audience, if you're not familiar, he's an obnoxious New Yorker who's also a Mets fan. So that just sort of paints the picture. And we have a few of them around here. Sky Blue is joining us. Kyle Fletcher joining us from AEW, as I mentioned, AEW Dynamite Rampage, July 3rd in Chicago. Another question for you guys, and this was interesting from The Undertaker, obviously, has a podcast, and he was saying how much he loves AEW and he wants it to grow because he thinks the competition is great for wrestlers and great for everybody. He questioned, though, the leadership at AEW. He doesn't know who the leaders are in the locker room. You guys are both there. You have intimate knowledge. Who are those people who are leading the way in AEW?
Of course. So I think we each probably have a different answer because men's locker room, women's locker room. For me, it's the guys that have been around forever. Adam Copeland came in and one of the first times I met him, he came up to me and said, hey, I heard you wanted some help with something or other. Here's my number. Text me anytime. And I've literally gone back and forth with him like, here's an idea, blah, blah, blah. And he's just the nicest, most down-to-earth guy. Unfortunately, he's injured now, so he's not going to be there. So that locker room morale, it's still there. But yeah, there's a lot of people leading the way. Will Ospreay just come in, and he's one of my favorite people in the world. I call him the best wrestler in the world. So him being there, and he's just such like a – he just loves it so much, and he wants to see everyone succeed. So he's always lifting people up, telling people how good they did and stuff like that. So yeah, there's a lot of people around, a lot of good morale in the men's locker room for sure.
Yeah, and in the women's, we have, I feel like everybody just wants to like support each other and help each other do better, and like so that the women do get more opportunities and do get to do what the men do and better than the men. Sorry.
Wow.
In my opinion, we have a lot of cool people that like I grew up watching, like Saraya, like Serena Deeb, Toni Storm. Like I remember sitting in a math class watching these girls wrestle and being like, I want to do that one day. And now I get to share a locker room with them and learn from them and train with them and just follow my dream with them, which is insane to me. So,
Sky Blue, Kyle Fletcher, just for another moment here on the Maggie and Perloff show. Rumor mill churning, always churning. Ricochet from WWE, maybe on his way to AEW. Have you guys heard anything? Can you tell us anything?
We don't know any more than you guys do, unfortunately. I think we can't really comment on people that work elsewhere, but obviously incredible talent, so would be stoked to work with him if that is where he ends up.
You guys are fantastic. Thank you so much for doing this. Sky Blue and also Kyle Fletcher. Again, we should mention Chicago. That's Sky's hometown, AEW. It is Dynamite, Rampage. We know how important this is to you guys. And thank you so much for making the time.
Of course. Thank you for having us.
Appreciate that. It. It's also Tony Khan's like hometown too, I believe, Chicago.
No way.
Yeah, he went to Illinois. And so I think around, this is close to him, University of Illinois.
I had no idea.
Yep.
That's cool.
I know. Tony's a big friend of the show.
I would have figured, I don't know, I guess Jacksonville. What year did they get involved with that?
I don't know the year that they bought the Jags. I'm not sure.
That is cool. Yeah, no, July 3rd in Chicago. That sounds like a gigantic party.
Yeah, well, that's the best time to go to Chicago.
Oh, my God. And then you get in July 4th. I'm sure there are many fans who are looking forward to a fun couple days.
Very, very cool. All right. Lots to do still here on the show today, including history that could be made tonight. We'll get to that next.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. All right. I know you love when I give sports takes from random people that have nothing to do with the industry, but I have a friend, my friend Cole, actually came up with an idea that I loved it.
Perloff.
I love Yeah.
Texts.
Okay. My sources of just civilians.
It's Bruce with the glass eye and lost it during sex, I really don't care about the opinions of any of your other friends.
But
Bruce
this
is special.
This is a good analogy. That was overly mean, but here's a good analogy. He described the Boston Celtics as like the 90s Bulls with a Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen, except that they have Scottie Pippen and Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. And
I love
that analogy. It's really cool. They have two Scottie Pippens. So that sort of brought up the question in my mind, where are we in the power ranking of Celtics? I feel like Jaylen Brown has moved up to either 1A or 1 over Jason Tatum. When coming into the finals, it was Jason Tatum versus Luka Doncic.
Yeah, you're right about that. I mean, Jaylen Brown won Eastern Conference MVP, and he's likely going to win Finals MVP.
I think he is, too. I don't think there's anything Tatum can do to win it back tonight.
Maybe not. I mean, 50 game, something like that.
I mean, I think a bigger threat, what if Drew Holiday gets hot and wins this game? Even a 50 game, is he really the series MVP? It's already 3-0.
You know, I think that a couple things are working for Jaylen Brown in this aspect. Number one, he is the highest paid player in the league right now. Now that's going to change, but he has the salary to back it up. So that basically means he's made enough like all NBA teams and all-star teams, because those are the salary escalators that he would even be eligible for, right? So you can't get to these big salaries unless you're getting all this respect from people who cover the league. So that's number one. Two, he's been the better player on the Celtics in this finals. And then three, maybe this is just a function of him having the microphone on him. Do you notice that he's also getting credit for being the guy along with Al Horford in the huddles?
That's a big thing to me. It's the leadership.
Yeah,
That is what is distinguished the two. Jason Tatum is quiet, and Jaylen Brown is a leader. And it's the way he plays, too. He's become the run stopper. You know, when the Mavs go on a run, who do the Celtics turn to? It's been Jaylen Brown every single time. So that's sort of those qualities that are, you know, Jason Tatum's probably a more skilled player, no doubt. He's probably going to score more points. But the kind of thing that wins titles, it seems like Jaylen Brown's got a little bit more of that.
You know, and correct me if I'm wrong, but Jaylen Brown obviously got there before Jason Tatum got there, and they made it to the Eastern Conference Finals, and he was on that team as a rookie before Tatum even got to the team. So, you know, it's like he was as a rookie, so it wasn't all him, but like even had success before Tatum got there. But yes, it definitely got labeled as Tatum was the Batman to Jaylen Brown's Robin, and I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, I agree.
And maybe that's better. You know, we always kind of wondered about their dynamic.
Is it better for the Celtics to win, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think clearly it's better for them to win. I had always heard this thing. I think maybe Jackie McMullen had said this at one point, but it was always tough in the beginning of the season for the Celtics because Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum were both pretty concerned about making the All-Star team. And then once the All-Star rosters came out and they would both make it, then everyone could kind of relax a little bit.
Interesting.
And so there's definitely, you know, so maybe a little internal competition, and maybe they've put that aside. I mean, they keep saying how mature they are and how the maturity and everyone pulling in the right direction and everyone being about the right thing has been a big part of this run. I don't know if that's just BS athlete speak. I think that might be right.
I totally agree. But let's talk legacy, though. Like, is this going to hurt Jason Tatum's legacy? Like, if you're elevating Jaylen Brown, that means you're denigrating Jason Tatum.
Yeah, but I'd rather be on par with somebody and have rings than be thought of as being the slightly better player with no rings. So if... Mm. That's a trade-off I would take any day of the week if I was a basketball player.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds good.
There's no shame in being on a good team.
No. It's definitely good for Jason. Jason Tatum, that's a question. Would you take the ring and then lose your spot as the best player on the team?
Well, the problem is, yes, because if they don't win, yeah, I'm getting the blame.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
So I would gladly share the marquee if it meant I was winning.
Watch Drew Holiday go off tonight and win the series MVP.
He, you know, you can make a case that he definitely deserves it.
I mean, he was right there after the first two games scoring. I think he was scoring 26 points a game, and he's been a defensive monster as well. Actually, I don't really care who wins the MVP in this, because the thing about the Celtics, they have four guys who can cover Kyrie and Luka. I mean, they're ridiculous. Their defense has been great. I think it's going to be Jaylen Brown. I don't know. We got to check out the odds. Is it still plus Brown? Is it still plus on him?
I believe. But
that's a good bet.
The thing is, though, is, again, it bothers me that we do this thing where they're going to win a title, and the first thing that some people in the media, in former players might do this too, it's not just media people, it could be basketball people too, are going to find ways to chip away at this title. And they didn't play anybody on the way there. And the Mavericks, you know, didn't show up or whatever, and find a million different ways to knock them down a peg when they just did something spectacular.
Yeah, you just did a good job. You just explained the case very well.
But I don't think it applies here. And the reason why...
Well, how could you not think that this is the easiest road of any finals team of all time?
Well, I don't know about that, but they were the best team in basketball. If this had been the Pacers, and all of a sudden the Pacers come in and they end up getting this easier road and they end up winning the title, I'd be like, wow, I don't know about that. That might be a little fugazi champion. The Celtics team is awesome. They deserve it. They have all the pressure in the world. I'm impressed by what they do.
Yeah, I'm an asterisk guy, and I'm putting one here. They got through an East with no Donovan Mitchell, Jalen Brunson on one leg. Or actually, they didn't play Jalen Brunson, but
Jimmy Butler hurt.
There was no Giannis in the field. Like, there were so many things that worked out in the East. And then I was talking with Carlos about this. Like, the West worked out perfectly for Boston, too. You cannot disregard that. The Dallas, like, the matchups were perfect. Like, Denver would be so much more challenging for Boston.
Yeah, they'd beat Minnesota probably, though.
They'd kill Minnesota. I agree with that. They'd kill Dallas. But Minnesota was built to beat Denver. You lay that case out. They specifically built a roster to beat Denver. And
it worked.
Dallas was kind of built to beat Minnesota. And Dallas certainly was not built to beat Boston. It turned out to be a bit of a matchup finals.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the matchup has not gone the Mavs' way. Bogus, you seem unimpressed.
I understand the limitations of the Eastern Conference. I don't think you can hold somebody coming out of the West against the Celtics. Like, the Mavs beat the team that beat the Nuggets. And you can't say, well, the Nuggets would have done this when the Nuggets didn't. They blew a 20-point lead in Game 7 in their building. Their third loss in that building in that series. Mm-hmm. So you don't know what the Nuggets would have been two rounds later against Boston.
You're right.
That was not part of the equation. I understand the things that come in the East, but I also know that the Celtics lost two games so far in the entire postseason. They took care of business.
Yeah.
They didn't have to do what they did, and they did win all those games.
Hey, listen, I'm an idiot. I picked the Mavs to win this series, so you're right.
Like,
I have no leg to stand on here. But honestly,
Aren't I always?
Let me just
I could have tripled down and gotten out of this tuna jelly situation.
What if Luka had not fouled out and Dallas had won and 2-1? Then it'd be closer, and then maybe, you know, the ironic thing, we'll probably knock off Boston's legacy here because they swept to be like, ah, that team they beat stunk.
It was way too easy. It's funny, we didn't really do this with the Lakers when they were sweeping teams, when they were winning.
Oh,
Kobe
yes.
And Shaq.
Oh, we showed it. You telling me beating the Pacers and the Nets? That you don't think that anybody
they're looks, remembered as an all-time great team.
They're not remembered as the all-time great team.
No,
they're
but
not
no
remembered. They're actually not remembered like the 80s Lakers.
They're remembered for being dominant.
They're remembered for being dominant, but everyone knows like they the talent was in the West. They played nobody in the finals.
Right, but and they survived the West, and then they shamed the East winner, and no one goes, well, maybe they had five, but it's really three, because the East, like, no one's redoing the math on their titles.
Yeah, but I do think it was a little bit of a bummer that they didn't face a rival in the finals. I will tell you, I think the 80s Lakers are much more thought of because they had the 80s Celtics floating around.
Yeah.
I think they're higher on the list of all-time dynasties.
Sure. But so, but there's no one like there's no one pulling back on the number of titles that Kobe or Shaq won because they didn't beat the crappy
like,
Nets.
When Jerry West passes away this week, we're like, well, he's the architect of the Showtime Lakers and the Kobe Shaq Lakers, but we all know those Kobe Shaq Lakers didn't have to beat anybody.
No, but it's definitely like the Kobe Shaq Lakers were definitely not the 80s Lakers, in my opinion. I mean,
yeah, there could be degrees of this, but all that to say, what the Celtics are doing, I am impressed by it, and whether they win tonight or whether this gets extended to Monday. It's pretty good stuff. Bogus is here with headlines. Oh, I'm sorry.
Real quick.
Yes.
Biggest asterisk NBA headline. NBA title.
The bubble.
The bubble? Okay. What about Akeem when Jordan was gone, or what about when Kawhi won because Kevin Durant blew out his leg and Klay got hurt? Those are all, like, everybody says, oh, Kawhi won, but Durant got hurt.
That one bothers me the most. That one's got the biggest room for conversation.
Really?
When guys are falling off the court in the series.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
What about lockout seasons?
Yeah, the Spurs beating the Knicks because the Knicks did not really belong there. They were, I think, the, yeah. But it was the Spurs went on to win a bunch more. So I think the ultimate one is Akeem's Rockets. Like, those are always like for Jordan fans. So like, those are, yeah, they won them, but Jordan was playing baseball.
We should have won 7 straight.
8.
As a Bulls fan.
Yeah. But that, you know, Jordan was back for the second one.
And then, he came back too late, though.
Right?
Did you guys hear the story? Who was telling the story the other day about when Jordan played the Magic again for the first? He came back.
Yeah, I saw that story,
lost to Shaq's Magic, right? And then the next season, he's fully back in the NBA. The baseball's in the rearview mirror. He's back to wearing 23. And he plays Orlando and scored 45 points, and he was at the free throw line and intentionally missed the free throw just to stay on 45. Oh, it's because Horace Grant had left the team to go to Orlando, and he was making a statement to Horace Grant.
And they had been making fun of the 45 number that he was wearing. Where I stopped and listened to that whole story the other day. I can't remember where.
It was not B.J. Armstrong. Who was telling that story? I can't remember the player who was telling the story.
I feel like it was B.J. Armstrong.
Was it B.J.
Armstrong?
Yeah, it might have been.
Confirm that, though.
Sometimes I don't know my own smarts. I impress myself. Bogus is here. That's a lie. Bogus, what's up?
Panthers captain and center Alexander Barkov couldn't finish Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Final after taking an elbow to the cheek. We were unsure of his status for Game 3 last night in Edmonton, but he played, and he played well.
Pass out of the zone. Panthers on the move. It's Barkov to Rodriguez. Barkov in front. A long shot, and he scores! Barkov makes it 4-1 Panthers with 4:29 to go in the second. The captain streaks it alone, and the Panthers lead by a trio.
Doug Plagans on Panthers Radio. Florida took that 4-1 lead into the third, gave up 2, but got the 4-3 win and the 3-0 series lead. They can win the cup for the first time tomorrow night in Edmonton. Barkov also had an assist last night. His head coach, Paul Maurice.
He's a unique personality, but his consistency with that game and the number of nights that he's not on the score sheet necessarily, that everybody on the bench is going, oh my God, that guy's a player.
But last night he was definitely on the score sheet. Now, 4 teams have blown 3-0 leads in hockey history. That's happened once in the Stanley Cup Final. It has not happened in any round in NBA history. That is what the Mavs are facing, starting with Game 4 in their building tonight. Luka trying to believe.
I think we lost 5-6 in a row, and then from there we just went up. I think we went 17-2. to get in the playoffs. I know it's that's regular season, but it was the kind of point we all came together, and the chemistry from there went to the top, and we're just going to believe.
Game five would be in Boston on Monday night if the Mavs can beat the Celtics this evening. Rory McIlroy not having a good Friday so far at the U.S. Open at Pinehurst. He is 2 over through 6 holes, dropping to -3 for the tournament. Now 2 shots off the lead. He shared overnight with Patrick Cantlay. He does not tee off until this afternoon. Neither does Tiger Woods. Scottie Scheffler is 1 over through 6 today. He is +2 for the tournament, as Pete smiles. Baseball last night, the Rangers took their rubber game at Dodger Stadium 3-1. The Red Sox took their rubber game with the Phillies 9-3. And the Rays rallied for a 3-2 win over the Cubs, who have now dropped 14 of 20. The Miami Dolphins are signing veteran defensive end Calais Campbell. Caitlin Clark scored just 7 points. Her Fever led by 18 in the first half, then trailed by 1 in the fourth. Then they beat the Dream 91-84. The Aces snapping their 3-game skid 103-99 in Phoenix, thanks to a career-high 34 from Jackie Young. U.S. Women's Soccer is number 5 in the new FIFA World Rankings, their lowest rank since 2003. And finally, back on ice, the new/old NHL team in Utah will be known as Utah Hockey Club for the coming season, at least. Public voting on the permanent nickname continues. Utah Hockey Club could win that vote, but there's also Mammoth, Yeti, Outlaws, Blizzard, and Venom. The uniforms for next season, by the way, will be rock black, salt white, and mountain blue.
They're really dragging this thing out, aren't they?
Yeah, they're making
kind of milking it.
The Jazz, too. Come on.
I did have the thought when they started this that, like, normally this is like an 18-month process for teams to, like, find a name or change a name and come up with logos and uniforms. So this seemed kind of rushed.
Well, the whole move was insanely rushed. It's like one day Bogus came in and said, this team is moving to Utah.
Right.
Tomorrow.
It was like a Tuesday. It's and like on Monday they said, hey, you know what? This is Arizona, right? We're stuck in a mall out here in Glendale. Let's go to Utah.
Yeah. The folks who work for them knew basically like we did. They had like 72 hours to decide they wanted to go to Arizona, from Arizona to Utah.
Man, Utah Hockey Club. What a bunch of hipsters.
By the time they pick a name, they'll be moving again.
And we're off.
Utah.
Mexico City.
Hipster be like, it's like a soccer.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, you can't commit to another nickname and then keep the vote. Well, you can't be the Mammoth 1 year and the Venom the next. So this is the cop-out.
The mistake was they had too many cool nicknames and everybody wanted, like, people are into these nicknames.
You want to know why it's like they can rush these things and they don't take as long is because you can use like ChatGPT and just like give me 10 names for a hockey club in Utah. That used to take like a search firm, $1 million, market research, literally 30 seconds.
It really didn't take all those things. I mean, look at Washington use all
the Commanders. They still can't even come up with a good thing.
They came up with the Commanders. Like those search firms you might as well burn money. I mean,
it's like the coaching search firm. You should hire Dan Hurley, Kentucky.
Okay, we look at
it. Oh, wow.
We've been looking at the landscape. This guy just won 2 titles. You thought about him?
We hadn't thought about that. Jeannie Buss like out to lunch somewhere. It's like, oh, yeah. Good
idea.
Here's
$1 million.
Sheesh. All right, Utah Hockey Club.
I should be a search firm. That'd be perfect.
You want to play matchmaker?
Yeah.
Wait, did you guys like Washington football team? I like that.
I called them the no-names. It was great.
Yeah, it would have been distinctive.
Well, now, also, it's their own fault, because if they had come up with something better than Commanders, maybe we wouldn't be looking back so fondly on Washington football.
They should have been the Hogs.
Could have been the Hogs. That would have been fun.
Or the Red Tails. Like, anything that alluded to, like, you know, the history of, like, World War or whatever it is. That would have been great. Red Hogs, Red Tails, anything better than Commanders. Because they're commies for short.
I know.
Yeah, that's true.
In Washington, D.C., nonetheless.
Irony's not lost on me.
I don't know.
Don't get Maggie started. Don't get Maggie started.
Carlos and I have had some conversations. Okay, have you guys, let's bring this on the air.
Yes.
Have you guys ever heard of the term honeypot?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Pete?
No.
Not Winnie the Pooh.
Hey, Pete.
I love Winnie the Pooh.
Honeypot.
Eeyore.
Perloff asked me if I knew what a honeypot was. And I said, what are you, crazy? That's KGB 101. Mm. They teach you that on the first day. The honeypot, which is you basically send a woman to basically get in a relationship or a situation with a target. and then get information about them, sexual
steal that,
or otherwise.
Steal that key card and, you know, do something.
And then blackmail them for information.
I was at this dinner with a bunch of middle-aged men like me, and somebody's nephew was a super rocket scientist guy, and apparently they're terrified of honeypots because the Russians really want to steal technology. That's the first thing they want. And we decided that if any Russian women come and talk to us, all us like balding men, then they must be honeypots. So the rest of the night, we're like, if anybody, any woman speaks to us, it's a honeypot. Stay away.
Yeah. Here comes Natasha.
Yeah.
I'm sure she's into you for your personality.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow.
Hooper.
Look at you. Yeah.
He must be a hooper.
What's that, a gold Amex?
Yes.
Amazing.
You like bacon on a biscuit?
I'm too like a crannies person.
I like a man wearing vineyard vines. That's a honeypot. That's a honeypot for sure.
That's the first giveaway.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, ooh, why is the camera set up in here? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Just tell me your deepest, darkest fantasies.
You like Utah hockey team?
She just casually orders a bacon, egg, and cheese with no egg and cheese.
Yeah, that's the first
you
time.
You like the same thing too, me. What a coincidence.
What are the nuclear codes?
Yeah, are there honeypots going after Pete Pilotti for his Infinity Sports Radio Network secrets?
You like cash on Father's Day? Yeah.
Do you have any cash to give me?
So do I.
Yeah.
We have yours.
Beware the honeypot, guys.
I laugh, but I would believe it in a second. I'm what? An easy mark. You could can't. Don't give me a secret.
Just like Bogus is like, you'll never guess. Veronica, I just met. Really into Fordham hoops.
What's the train on the board? Come on.
I'll cut tape on a Wednesday night, no problem. Thanksgiving night, I'm there. What can I tell you?
I mean, I've had situations. Not honeypot, but I've been at all right, it's Friday, right? I can share this.
Sure, go ahead.
What's up?
Your name's on the show, go
we
ahead.
We have dumb buttons. It's cool.
I've been sitting playing blackjack at a certain casino in Las Vegas, and an unusually attractive woman has sat next to me and talked me up. And it dawned on me about 5 minutes in this conversation that something is afoot. Something's amiss.
She sees you. Huh. She sees you only betting $5 bets.
Yeah,
and quickly
by the way, and yeah. She was like, "Huh? Listen, not usually 10 sit up and talk to me at blackjack tables. I wonder if there's some transaction that might be requested later in the evening."
Just stick it around to see whether you're hitting on 18.
Yeah. So you know what I'm talking about, Maggie.
I think we saw a little of that when we were in Vegas for the
Super
Bowl.
Yeah. Yes. Not they don't even come after me anymore. They know I'm not a big spender.
Yeah.
Like our
it's
crew.
It's your Jarrett Allen wardrobe.
Yeah, it's funny. Like there's less
honeypots from the hotel room.
Yeah, there's less honeypots hanging around us when we go to a restaurant than I don't know, maybe Carlos though. I could see you attracting a honeypot or two. You know some things.
Yeah, I mean, probably is the only person in this room with a top secret clearance. I'm sure a honeypot would try to get at me.
That's
what
true.
What about a prostitute like me?
They also might be looking for information.
Could they be in it for your wallet?
He does have nice clothes.
And Carlos knows the nuclear codes.
Right.
So there you go.
Wow. I see you're holding on 16 with that $5 bet you got there.
Your $3,000 sneakers.
No, I hit the red button.
Now they know I don't have any money because they see what I wear. I spend it all on that.
Yeah, the honeypot. Guys, beware. Look out there.
And a good old-fashioned prostitute.
Hide your keys.
You're running
beware of that, too.
Yeah, strippers don't like you either.
Listen, we all have the advice to give out on this fine Friday.
Yeah, when I go into a strip joint and order a ginger ale, they're like, get out of here.
This is what you want on Father's Day. Like, happy Father's Day, guys.
And the cash is friends for. About you.
Yeah. Not only does Pete want cash, he wants singles.
Yeah. Oh, yes, I'll have a Dr. Pepper, an extra doctor, please. Thank you. Chipped ice too as well.
He needs unmarked singles.
That's right. Yeah, you have four quarters, please.
Amazing. There you go. That's that. Coming up.
Just gonna bring it.
I've got other
Can
things.
Can we get Sky Blue and Kyle Tucker on here again to save the day?
I've got something we haven't gotten to. certain relationship.
Oh,
apparently
boy.
Going up in smoke, and there is no sympathy around these parts. Get to that next. Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. We're not ones to gossip around here, but we did notice this story about Giselle, Tom Brady's ex, of course, that she and her boyfriend may have split up. It's page six. Joaquin Valente, I believe his name is, the jiu-jitsu instructor who was basically the butt of half of the jokes from the Tom Brady roast. They may have had a fallen out because the spotlight, Perloff, was too much for Valenti and the roast was just too much to overcome.
Yeah, I mean, let's give credit where credit's due. That was an In Touch Weekly feature. They had the reporting on this. So this is a heavy media.
This, it's basically the Washington Post is what you're saying.
I watched the roast and I was like, oh my God, is Tom just doing this whole thing to get back at Giselle? And if that was his goal, he got it. But isn't that so passive aggressive to do it this way?
He would have put himself in the line of fire too, which he did. So,
well, yeah, but honestly, I'm trying to remember any of the jokes that were about him. They were more like about him deflating footballs, not about cheating on his wife.
No, she got a lot of the brunt of it, which is why Pete was disgusted with what happened because it is the mother of his children, and she definitely was in the line of fire for all those comedians. And the only time Tom Brady looked uncomfortable was when they told a Robert Kraft joke, not when they were taking out...
Yeah, that's where you draw the line.
Not when they're taking out Giselle every other second because of this relationship with the jiu-jitsu guy.
But one thing about this I don't really buy, the quote from the article, by agreeing to do the roast, he basically put a target on Joaquin's back. That's from a source close to Giselle, a made-up source close to Giselle. So, but
page
this guy's
six has it too, Pearl. We know, really, page six is pretty buttoned up.
I got to be honest, Giselle is worth, like, I would take the heat.
If you were the jiu-jitsu guy.
Like, is that, so who cares? You got a bunch of jokes about it. You're dating Giselle.
Like, he gets the last laugh, is what you're saying. Why bother yourself?
I have pictures of him, and he looks like, he looks like he's lucky to be dating Giselle. I know he knows jiu-jitsu, which is pretty cool, but most jiu-jitsu instructors are not dating supermodels.
Not just a supermodel.
He outkicked his coverage a little bit here. It's not an excuse. Would you break up with somebody just because they were the target of a roast?
I don't know. Maybe he's embarrassed. Maybe his pride is wounded. Maybe this is some kind of macho thing. I have no idea.
But he looks cool. Why is he embarrassed?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just saying it seems like he is. And he said something like, according to this, that he's a regular guy, not used to all the attention. You can understand that.
Okay.
Whether it's Giselle or not, you might just not want to be in the spotlight.
He's dating Tom Brady's ex-wife.
What do you think was going to happen?
Yeah, what do you think was going to happen?
Well,
she's the most famous model of her generation.
No, I get it. It's like the woman in Edmonton who showed her, you know what, like you can't now pretend to be bashful.
Wow, she's boobs.
She's doing a pretty good job. Like, she's capitalizing on her.
But like, yeah, you're right. You date Giselle. What do you think's going to happen? But you know, at the same time, maybe you're not used to celebrity and it blindsides you.
And not just date Giselle, like wedged his way into their not completely over relationship either.
Yeah, I think the timeline on that is murky, but point made.
Okay.
Also, the guy knows jiu-jitsu. Like, what's he afraid of?
Yeah, that's the other thing. Couldn't you just kick everybody's butt?
Yeah, it
doesn't work like that. No, you overthink it when you get into a street fight. You do not bring the jiu-jitsu stuff like in a real regular fight.
Is that right? You don't think that if you take martial arts that it's not going to kick in if you're in a bar fight?
It helps, but you overthink things.
Well, he doesn't need to get a fight. I would actually think Giselle would break up with him because of the heat on the kids. I mean, that's the real problem. Like, does she really, like, she can't continue this relationship because it's always going to be known as the affair. So she's marrying the mistress.
Wait, I'm back to Carlos here. Yeah. So you're trained, obviously. Carlos serves in our military. Thank you for your service.
For another month.
And then you're scot-free.
Free man, baby.
What the training you got is to what level for hand-to-hand combat?
Combatives level number 2. So I can't certify anybody, like, you know, technically. But I know a little more than the basics, not as good as everybody else, 3 and 4.
How many, like, moves do you know that could end someone's life?
When we go to kickball, I can show you some holds.
All right. Thank you, Carlos Ortiz. Thank you to Pete Lottie. Thank you to Andrew Bokish, Andrew Kaplan, Guido's coffee drinkers. You guys know who you are. Oh, man. Have a good weekend and a happy Father's Day to all you out there. Thanks, Dad. Call me.